It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Another edition of Wisconsin Sports Daily served up by Wendy's here on 1250 AM. The Fancy Sparky Fiverr with you here on a Football Friday. Yes, sir. It's a lot of fun. Let's switch gears here. Let's talk with our guy, Ryan Horvath from, of course, BetMGM tonight. Him and Brad Evans do a great job weeknights while you're watching the games. You got them going on in the background, whether you're streaming it on your Odyssey device or if you live near a BetQL radio station affiliate, you can listen to them that way as well to give you in-game betting advice, advice maybe for the upcoming West Coast games or games coming up on the weekend, whatever the case may be, and highly entertaining at that. So make sure to check them out. Ryan Horvath, let's get your thoughts, because we haven't talked to you since last week, on what you saw from the Packers and their defensive effort, I guess. 8 sacks, some turnovers, all that fun stuff last week against the Titans.
Yeah, man, I bet against the Packers last week, and my mom won't let me, like, she won't stop talking about it. I've gotten numerous text messages from her and my brother. You went against the family. You went against the team. And I never bet against him, man. But I got to give Matt LaFleur a lot of credit. Hell, you got to give Malik a lot of credit. I thought Malik was awesome. That was the ultimate revenge game going against the Titans. But Matt LaFleur, again, you know, I keep saying the same thing about Kevin O'Connell. It's early in the season. We're not even through 1 month yet. But, like, if Minnesota and Green Bay keep playing like this, those two guys should be coach of the year candidates. Even Sean McVay, you know, with the beat up team beating San Francisco. Those guys are all just so good from that coaching tree. They really are, though. And I know there were a lot of Matt LaFleur haters early on. You know, there's been times I've gotten mad at them, you know, taking Rodgers off the field in that NFC championship game and kicking the field goal. I was pissed, but man, like, he is so good at scripting and game planning. Defensive side of the ball is where I was really impressed. And, you know, this is what I keep saying about Green Bay. They're not a finished product. I think they're going to be a really good football team come week 6, week 7, because Jeff Hafley just got the town. And, you know, I know that it's been a full off season, a full summer since they made the hire, but you got to see real game action, right? Because you can't just be going against your offense. Even these joint practices, preseason games where nobody plays, you don't really know what you got, or you really can't put in your system, your game plans, until you're seeing live action. And also, you have offenses now in the National Football League, you know, that, like, change every week. They script, you know, according to defenses, according to opponent, the game plan for opponent. So I think that defense is only going to continue to get better, man. Love what I saw from the pass rush. I mean, you know, Preston Smith playing good football. Rashawn Gary, I think he's going to have double-digit sacks this season. That was my prediction. I think he could have 14, 15 sacks, hopefully. I mean, he's making enough money. And then how about Van Ness? Van Ness showing up to the party. So I love what I saw from that pass rush. Love what I saw from the defense. Still have, you know, minor concerns about the secondary and about the linebacker unit, because Will Levis is a nightmare. In my opinion, he's the worst starting quarterback in the National Football League. I'm not just saying that because he cost me hundreds of dollars last week. I mean, I think his head coach agrees. I think there's a good chance that we see Mason Rudolph very, very soon. And it's funny because Will Levis, that NFL's so weird, man, and the world's so weird. Like, after he throws that terrible pick six to Jair, I see a commercial. They cut to a commercial. And he's, like, doing the splits, eating mayo. I think all that mayo is giving him brain damage or whatever he's putting in his coffee, the mayonnaise. So, yeah, good win. Tennessee, wow, they need to make a change at quarterback. But I was most impressed with the defense, with Matt LaFleur's game plan. And now I can't wait to see what this team looks like at full strength with Jordan Love hopefully back.
All right, let's talk about Packers and Vikings. And again, I mean, it seems like listening to LaFleur this week, which, by the way, he's driving me nuts. Like, I absolutely hate listening to Matt LaFleur's press conferences while this whole thing of, oh, he's limited, oh, he's limited, oh, he's limited. Like, he doesn't answer anything. I hate the whole charade. Either way, it appears, by the way, he's hemming and hawing and not answering questions, that Malik Willis is going to have packages, even if Jordan Love is back at this point. So we're going to see some of that possibly going forward. Having said that, looking at BetMGM, Packers, 2.5-point favorite The over-under is 43.5. When this line came out at 2.5, at the beginning of the week, I said, well, they must know Jordan Love is playing, because otherwise, I don't see how it's 2.5. What was your thoughts on the line then, and what is it now?
So the line's telling you that Jordan Love's playing. The total's telling you that Jordan Love's playing. Now, what it is the sports book's protecting itself, because if Jordan Love gets announced in, that number goes from 2, 2.5 to a full 3, maybe even 3.5, and the total goes up, right? Because the offense, as good as Malik's played, the offense is much better with Jordan Love, right, the highest paid starting quarterback in the National Football League, right? So that's what the market's telling you. I don't know if this is a good thing after I bet against them last week, but I bet Green Bay right away, but I didn't take any points. I just took them to win the game on the money line, risked a little bit more, and I think that that's the way to go. I think Jordan Love's playing in this game. It's a divisional game. I don't buy into – I told you this story, I think, a couple weeks ago. My grandfather, when he coached at Joliet Catholic, like, I hated the offense because it's the double wing offense, and I played quarterback back in the day, and I wanted to go to high school there, obviously, but I didn't want to take snaps under center. I wanted to throw the football from shotgun. That's just not his offense. But I would always get excited because anytime cameras would come to town, like we had like the game of the week, all of a sudden my grandpa would start doing stuff from shotgun and have like 4 or 5 receiver sets, and I'd get all excited, and he'd be like, "Yeah, we're not running any of this stuff. We're just doing it for the cameras." And then the other team would see that, the defensive coordinator, and be like, "Oh my God, what's Joliet Catholic running?" I think that's what Matt LaFleur's doing. Like, who cares about us, the media, or even us as bettors? Matt LaFleur is making a really good defensive coordinator in Brian Flores. Now game plan and script for, yeah, Jordan Love, but also what if Malik Willis is out there? What if there are some packages? I think there's zero chance that we ever see a Malik Willis package. Maybe once or twice, it probably will go according to like the way that I think it's going to go, not good. And they'll pull him off the field because Jordan Love's the highest paid quarterback in the league. I used to hate when Drew Brees would complete like 12 passes in a row, and then here comes Taysom Hill.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't think Matt LaFleur is going to do that. But the defensive coordinator, he ain't got to know about it, to quote Billy Madison. So I kind of love what Green Bay is doing. I love them in this game. And as much as I like that Vikings team, they're a much better team at home. That's a real home field advantage. It always has been.
But the other thing is, Malik Willis is a much better runner than Taysom Hill. So, I mean, from that perspective, he'd be more of an explosive second option. But I'm with you. I don't want him on the field at the expense of taking Jordan Love off the field.
Yeah, I don't think we – I don't ever want – like, with all due respect, thanks for winning us 2 games.
Yes.
I don't really want to see him ever again. I would love for – like him to be Josh Dobbs and he goes elsewhere and gets another opportunity to play football, a game he loves. And, you know, maybe he can play the position, but we have Jordan Love. We just paid him all this money. I don't want him ever to get hurt ever again. So let's protect him. And I like Green Bay in the game, though. As much as I like Minnesota this season, can't believe I'm saying that. It pains me. You know, right now, they have to go on the road in this spot. Like you said, Green Bay's defense with the 6 sacks, that's where Sam Darnold's still sensitive when he's pressured, and he's still hanging on to the ball a little bit too long. I think what they're going to do is they're going to come into Lambeau, and they're going to try to run the ball with Aaron Jones. They're going to try to make it the Aaron Jones revenge game. I think he's going to catch a lot of balls out of the backfield. I took his receiving prop over, him to have 4 receptions, I think is a really good bet because I think he's going to catch a lot of footballs. The matchup that scares me the most is Jordan Addison coming back. Let's hope he's not 100% yet. Because I could trust Jair somewhat against Justin Jefferson with some safety help up top. But then you got Jordan Addison. Who's going one-on-one with Jordan Addison? Which corner is taking on that role? That's the only matchup that really concerns me. They still don't have TJ Hockenson. They're kind of beat up on the offensive line. Even with those 2 awesome tackles, you know, teams are getting pressure on Sam Darnold right now. And that's where, again, those turnover-worthy throws are coming from. So, hell, man, Van Ness, Smith, Rashawn Gary have to have big games. Hopefully Green Bay could get some natural pressure and not have to blitz a whole lot, because I think that's the key in this game. You get natural pressure with your front 3, your front 4, whatever it is up front, and then you drop extra guys back in coverage to help out against Addison and to help out against Justin Jefferson. Because, again, not having TJ Hockenson's huge, and that's why I do love Aaron Jones props, because I think he's probably going to eat against these linebackers in coverage. But I think Green Bay wins the game. And I also think we know right away, though, how healthy Jordan Love is, and you know, if he's going to be able to start and finish the game, and if Green Bay is going to be the right side and they're going to win the game, because Brian Flores is blitzing more than any coordinator in the league right now, and he plays zone behind it. So if Jordan Love can move around a little bit, and if they could protect him, I think he's got to be a lot of quick throws, right? A lot of quick throws.
You sit in traffic now, but later there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Just hold on a second. We're acting like Jordan Love's never seen this. He saw it twice last year, and then in the second game when this offense was cooking, he torched them by blitzing as much as they did. So if he wants to blitz Jordan Love a ton again this week, good luck to you. I hope it all works out. Now, if it's Malik Willis, we're screwed. Then I totally 1,000% agree. On the other side of the ball for Minnesota's defense, Byron Murphy has not played well through 3 weeks at all. So if I'm Jordan Love and the Packers, whoever he's guarding, wherever it is on the field, I'm looking his way first.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Minnesota hasn't seen an offense like the Packers yet with all these receivers coming at you. It could be Christian Watson. It could be Jaden Reed's the bet if you're playing props in this game. So Jaden Reed's lining up in the slot on 80% of his snaps, and that's where, like you said, man, that's where you're going to see, you know, the weaker links in their secondary. They're getting torched in the slot. So this is going to be a huge Jaden Reed game. Or maybe Christian Watson, you know, you stick him in the slot a little bit, but both of those guys, I think, show up. Maybe Vikings, maybe Minnesota is able to kind of take away like Romeo Doubs and some of the underneath stuff. And maybe even the run game doesn't get going here. So that's why you need it to be Jordan Love. But I agree. Like, you can't blitz Jordan Love. He'll pick you apart. That's what I'm saying. We're going to find out how healthy he is, because I think that's what they're going to test right away, though. You know, they're going to see that big brace or whatever it is he's practicing with right now, and they're going to say, okay, let's see if he can move around a little bit. And if not, that could get ugly. And then we maybe have to see Malik. And then we're in big trouble. But I think Jordan Love's going to be fine. I think Green Bay wins this game.
All right, Green Bay wins this game. So that's the one game that everybody obviously is going to be talking about. What are some of your favorite plays in college coming up this weekend? Obviously, Badgers and USC is the one everybody cares about here. A late game Saturday afternoon. Braden Locke making his first start of the season now that Van Dyke is hurt.
Yeah, the Badgers suck, and I think Phil Longo needs to go. I really do. You can't run that type of offense. Like, with the type of players that you're recruiting, it's just not a fit, right? I mean,
well, they're the ones recruiting the players. What do you mean? They're recruiting players for his offense.
And none of them are any good.
I don't disagree with you, but I'm just saying they're the ones recruiting them. I mean, it's not like Chris recruited these guys and then Longo's the one having to coach them. I mean, they're guys, they're the transfer portal guys. Those are all Longo guys and his guys. The young guys are freshmen and sophomores, so maybe they haven't gotten through yet to be able to play consistently inside of this offense. But the transfer portal guys like CJ Williams and those guys, those are all his guys.
It's like a big enough sample size for me to say it's not going to work. I would rather just prefer to go back to the traditional Wisconsin ground and pound offense. And then like look what Michigan did in the Big House against USC. You know, like these new teams that are coming to the dance, to the party, like Oregon, USC, UCLA, they're not ready for that style of football yet. And I don't love that style of football either, but if your big transfer portal pickup is like Tyler Van Dyke and these wide receivers who can't create any separation, and even like, you know what I mean? Like the offensive line isn't your traditional Wisconsin offensive line. And on the defensive side of the ball, I know they have some injuries, but they're not tough enough in the trenches. I mean, old school Wisconsin would have been able to at least hang with Alabama and cover 3 touchdowns. And this group couldn't. And I think it's because of the offensive side of the ball. Not ready to give up on Fickell yet, but, man, I think you need an OC coming in. I have no faith in them covering in this game. I would love to say they're the safe bet because you're getting more than 2 touchdowns. You're getting 15.5 points here. But here's the thing. You got to score points. Even if you hold your own against that USC offense and Miller Moss and all those wide receivers. And you know what's crazy? USC losing that game to Michigan, I bet Michigan, and I had them on the money line. I kind of came away like a little bit more impressed even with USC. I think they're going to be just fine. I just, you got to be able to score points. And so do you think the Badgers could score 14 points against this USC defense? It's crazy that I'm even saying that, because 2 years ago they probably would have hung 40 on them because it was the worst defense in college football history. But then they fired Alex Grinch, and now they could actually tackle. Last season they were outside the top 120 in the country. How many football teams are there in the FBS? And that's where USC was, on the defensive side of the ball trying to tackle. But this year they're wrapping up, so I would love to take Wisconsin because it's a lot of points. But I just don't have any faith that they could score 14 points in this game. So I got to stay all the way away. And I hate myself for betting the win total over. Now, again, like, the Tyler Van Dyke injury sucks. But do you think even if he stays healthy, they cover last week or,
no,
you know, they win 8 games? I'm not even sure, man. He didn't look very good either.
No, I didn't. I didn't like the transfer pickup when they made him. Didn't like him at all. Others were trying to sell me on, Sparky, he had one really good year in Miami. He'll be really good with Wisconsin. You'll see. I was like, no, I'm not buying it.
And that was me.
It didn't work out. No, you're not the only one. A bunch of people told me that. Everybody was trying to calm me down on that guy, and I refused to listen because I'm stubborn. But, okay, give me a couple other picks that you like this week. And, of course, everybody make sure to tune in to Ryan Horvat and the Glass Man coming up tomorrow. Tomorrow morning here on The Fan, 8 a.m. here on 1250 a.m. The Fan tailgate to kick off. They take you up to college games each and every Saturday morning starting at 8 o'clock.
All right, I'll give you an ugly one that you probably don't want to watch, and then I'll break down Georgia-Bama for you real quick because I got a bet that I really like in that game. So Cincinnati, the Bearcats, they were +3. I think they're down to 2.5. If you could get a +3, take it. Take whatever number you could get. I think they're actually going to beat Tech. Tech's got some injuries on the defensive side of the ball. Cincinnati's offense is top 20, according to Pro Football Focus. Their quarterback, Brendan Sorsby, is completing 65% of his passes, 9 touchdowns, no picks, not turning the ball over. Since he has a real fun offense. Defensive side of the ball, they're number 19 in the country in the red zone defense. They just don't let teams score. And Tech, they rely on their run game and their running back. And he missed the last game. He's coming back here. But still, like, I don't think they're going to be able to score a whole bunch. And I don't think they're going to be able to get stops with their beat-up defense. So I like Cincinnati +3, +2.5, wherever it closes, if whatever number you could get. I think they win the game. And then everybody that I've talked with and all the smarts and sharps out in Vegas have bet Alabama. That's why this spread went from 4 at one point to 3 to now a pick. I'm going to go against everybody. And I'm going to go with the regular Joes, and I'm going to take Georgia. I get the thinking behind Bama because Kalen DeBoer, you think of the two biggest games that he won last year were both against Oregon. You think about where Dan Lanning came from, and he came from Georgia, where he was the defensive coordinator. So, like, Kalen DeBoer, he's seen this defense, and he's got a Heisman quarterback in Milroe, right? And they're really good, Alabama. But their best wide receiver is 17 years old. He should be a senior in high school. Now he has to go against that Georgia defense. And I don't really care about Georgia sleepwalking 2 weeks ago against Kentucky, because they do that every year. And you know what? I like it, actually, because now they had a bye week in English. And Kirby Smart has just been ripping his team to the media every chance he gets, like saying how bad they suck. What do you think practice has been like? What do you think those team meetings have been like? You know what I mean? Yep. And let's remember, Georgia would have been favored over Michigan in the national championship game in the college football playoff. The reason they weren't there, Alabama beat them in the SEC championship game. I think Alabama, I like Milroe, man. I think he's really good. I think he's a good college quarterback. But I think, you know, Georgia has the better quarterback in Carson Beck. I think he's probably the best quarterback in the country, him and Shador. I hate to say that, but Shador is damn good. So I think Georgia wins this game. I also like their data point better. Like, Bama's best win, what is it this season? Is it Wisconsin? Because Georgia's best win was against Clemson. And at the time, I was like, oh, Clemson sucks. They got beat 31-3. They didn't even score a touchdown. Since then, Clemson's scoring 60 points on everybody, and they look damn good. So I think Georgia's just a really good football team. I know this game's on the road. I know Kirby's 1-4 against Alabama, but is he 1-4 against Alabama, or is he 1-4 against Nick Saban?
There you go.
Like, this has to be the year that Georgia wins.
Yeah.
So I love that everybody keeps betting Bama, and now I'm just betting Georgia to win the game. I don't have to lay any points. I'm going to go with them, though.
He is Ryan Horvath. Check him out. BetMGM tonight, weeknights. Him and Brad Evans, part of the BetQL Radio Network. Stream it on your Odyssey app. Check him out Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. Him and the Glass Man breaking down college football every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. here on 1250 a.m. The Fan tailgate to kick off. Ryan, thank you so much, dude. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Coming up next, we will talk with Andrew Wagner as we talk more about the crew brought to you by Pool Park in Menominee Falls, straight ahead here on Wisconsin Sports Daily on 1250 AM, The Fan.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.